desire and interest in your prayers this morning. I really didn't expect to be in this place today. Didn't feel like the Lord had given me anything as far as a message till I got here.
Amen.
I had some things rumbling around in my head over the last couple of weeks, but there wasn't any continuity to it till I got here. And the Lord started visiting with me. The song that the Eck family sang, there was a phrase in the chorus, "Fight with faith and courage."
Yes, amen.
I want to say once again, I've never been here for one of these singings, but I have been blessed in my soul. And this is another one of those times. It's so good to see folks come in and visit from across the country, gather in a central location, and to sing and pray and praise. I have really enjoyed watching this group of young folks that are here. I'm just very pleased to see you here. I want to encourage all of you, young men, young ladies. I want to encourage all of you to fight the fight. You got a battle on your hands. And it's not something that we don't understand. We've been through some of the same things you're going through, and believe it or not, we're still fighting the same devil every day. But I want to encourage you today to do all that you can to press shoulder to shoulder.
Yes, amen.
As the words of the song were, press shoulder to shoulder with each other. Your age group, the comrades that you have, press shoulder to shoulder and be there with them and be there for them. In the book of Matthew, the 11th chapter, the 12th verse, Jesus' words to the to the people, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. This little scripture tells me that there's going to be some action, going to have to be some action on our part if we're going to inherit the kingdom of God.
Yes, amen.
It says it suffers violence. Now, I like to try to work with this a little bit this morning. It's not a violence as taking up arms and fighting for the cause of Christ. When Jesus was about to be led to the cross, when they came to arrest him in the garden, Peter drew his sword and he cut off Malchus' ear. Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword back into your sheath." He said, "My kingdom isn't of this world. If it were, my servants would fight. But put your sword back up, Peter. This is not what it's about. I know that you care about me and you want to defend me, but that's not what this thing's about." Now, in the Old Testament, it's full of types and shadows of things to come. The scripture speaks of it being a schoolmaster for us. And it is a beautiful lesson. And when we read the Old Testament and we study the activities of those, the patriarchs and the plan of God moving and working throughout the Old Testament, and study it in the light of it being a type and a shadow, a lesson for us to incorporate into a New Testament gospel experience, it's beautiful. It's beautiful when we understand it that way. And we read there's a lot of history in the Old Testament, and it's easy to get kind of bogged down in the names of the kings. And that, while some of that's important, it has its place. It's the real meat and potatoes of the Old Testament is the being a schoolmaster to teach us about the things that Christ was to be, because there are prophecies there that point to him. And so it is in the book of Judges. I'd like to work a little bit with the second and third chapter in light of this verse in Matthew 11 and 12. Sometimes I wish that I had lived in the time of the circuit riders, when you could ride around the country and preach to people who hadn't necessarily been tainted by religion. I hope that makes sense to you. This world that we live in today, folks, has been tainted by religion to the extent that it's hard for people to even know what to believe. So many different denominations and doctrines put forth as being from the Word of God, but a lot of it is tainted with man's ideas, his creeds, his own laws and rules and systems of order, and it doesn't really fit within the confines of the Word of God. I wish I had lived in a day that was so much simpler, where you could speak to people about getting saved and about turning their lives around and giving their heart to Jesus. And it meant just that. It meant humbling myself before the cross. It didn't mean adhering to a set of rules or orders or regulations. It meant simply serving the Lord. And that's exactly what the gospel message is today. It means simply serving the Lord. But it means to do it with my whole heart. It means to put my energy and my focus into worship in Him and serving Him and pleasing Him and praising Him. It takes action on my part daily. I wish the world wasn't so tainted with religion. In the book of Judges, a little background. Moses had led the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. They reached an opportunity to cross over into the land of Canaan. They balked. God had something very special planned for them. He led them to the brink. They were about to, the next day, cross over into the land of Canaan, but they balked. They wouldn't go. The Lord was displeased with them. He gave them very strict and stern warning. They said, the next day we'll go. And He said, no, you won't. All of you who were above a certain age, I believe above 40, were going to die in that wilderness. And they did. Moses did all he could to lead the children of Israel, to instruct them, to teach them. He got the Word of God. He did everything that he could. And even Moses himself was not allowed to go into the land of Canaan because he allowed himself to be caught up in anger and stepped outside of the boundaries of God's commandment. There was a time when the children of Israel murmured, which they were prone to do, and they wanted water, and the Lord told Moses what to do to get water. Water from a rock. There came another time when the children of Israel began to murmur, and Moses took it upon himself to strike the rock and get water. The Lord gave water. But He told Moses that, I'm not pleased with the way you did that. You took it upon yourself. I honored it, but you took it upon yourself. Moses himself was not allowed to enter into the land of Canaan because of that activity. The land of Canaan is typical of a sanctified life. The exodus from Egypt is typical of being justified, being saved. The next step for the children of Israel was to enter into that land of Canaan. Moses wasn't able to do that. Those who were above 40 when they balked at the first opportunity weren't able to go, so they wandered in the wilderness. But then Joshua came on the scene, and he was one that God gave the commission to lead them over, lead them across. So they did. They made the trek across the Jordan into the land of Canaan, and they began immediately to battle. They fought, They fought. They fought their enemies. They had many victories. They had some triumphs. They had some failures. But the Lord showed them where they were in their failures, and He showed them where they were in their successes. It's the way the Lord wants it to be today, folks. If you today have allowed yourself to be saved by the blood of Jesus, and you've taken another step at a deeper level, a deeper consecration in Him, I want you to know today, you're not going to live a life that's footloose and fancy-free. You've got some battles to fight on your hand. You've got some giants to face. You've got some things out there that you have never seen before, but I want you to know that there is one who will be with you to carry you and help you in those battles. The children of Israel didn't fight many battles until they crossed into that land of Canaan. That's where it really heated up for them. Now, those were fighting men. I read where there was one who could throw a stone with left hand, right hand, didn't make much difference to him. He could go either way and was just as deadly accurate with one as he was the other. These were men who were taught how to fight, were skilled in battle. They were people who, when they came up against the enemy, somehow they had been trained, taught how to master their enemies. I know they had the Lord with them, but I want us to know something, folks. There were some things behind these people that prepared them for this day. They wandered 40 years in the wilderness, and that's not an easy life. Yes, they had manna every day that God sent them for food. But I want you to know that wandering around in a wilderness will make a person a little stronger than he would if he was living in sealed houses. When they were in bondage in Egypt for 400 years, gathering straw, gathering clay for the bricks for the Egyptians, with the whips placed on their backs, no one really knows all the strain and stress that those people had to go through, but they built some magnificent structures. And it was all done by man's hand and by manual labor. They were used as machines. That built them up for something that the Lord had in mind for them in later years. Now, what we might look at as being a hardship was a part of the plan of God, working to prepare them for that day when they would make that exodus and make that journey into the land of Canaan. A strong people, people who had been taught how to work hard, had fought adversity, had heard their fathers teach them about adversity and hard places and how that they were able to overcome those adversities, overcome those difficulties, and to conquer and win. And no doubt they had heard the stories about how God led them across the Red Sea. Folks, I want you to know, when there's a million plus people carrying their stuff by foot, going across a place like that, these are strong people. They're not your common everyday man. These are strong people who are fit and ready to go. This is exactly the way the Lord wants us to be today. I need to read some more scripture. Judges 2. Verse 1. An angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt and have brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars. But ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have ye done this? Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare unto you. And it came to pass, when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept. And they called the name of that place Bochim, and they sacrificed there unto the Lord. Verse 10. And also all that generation. Well, maybe I better just read for continuity. And when Joshua had let the people go, in verse 6, the children of Israel went every man into his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance, in Timnath-Heres, in the Mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gaash. All of those fighting men, the captains, the generals, the lieutenants, whoever they were, whatever their rank was, I don't know if they even used such a thing, but all of those mighty men that fought with Joshua, the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua. They had been taught some things. They had some strengths about them. They had seen the hand of God working in their behalf all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that lived longer than Joshua. But then something happened. After Joshua passed off the scene, and after all of the elders who were with him that outlived him passed off the scene, verse 10, also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. I wonder if that's where we are today. Folks, we need to learn how to fight. The Lord told the children of Israel that as long as you stay with me, as long as you let me fight your battles for you, as long as you let me prepare the way before you, I'll go with you every step of that journey. I'll fight your battles for you. I don't want you to make a league with any of these nations here in this land of Canaan. As long as they followed that outline, the Lord was with them. But they began to make mistakes. And they began to make leagues with those citizens of the land of Canaan, the Canaanites, the Perizzites. They began to make leagues with them. They began to see that after Joshua and the elders had passed off the scene, those mighty men, the strong men, they began to look around them and see that there were some pretty strong cities left there that needed to be battled and conquered. But there were some other thinking that went into their minds about how to accomplish this goal. One of those thoughts was, maybe I need to get an ally. I need to get someone to fight with me because I'm just not so sure that I'm strong enough to handle this battle. So they began to make leagues with the Canaanites. Canaanites is a broad term. It's all of the inhabitants of the land of Canaan. They began to make leagues with them and to accept their help, accept their assistance in these battles. I want us to know today, folks, that was the beginning of the downfall of the children of Israel. Because once they began to look outside of God and accept help outside of God, they began to allow things in their own lives that made them weaker. This is what is happening to us in society today, folks. In the religious world, I said I wish that we weren't in such a world that is so tainted with religion. But the pure Word of God, the pure religion, the pure gospel message was going forth to all mankind. I want us to know today, we are living in a world that has been so weakened by a weakened gospel message that they don't know how to fight. People don't know how to really get down, knuckle down, and fight against the enemy of their souls. God help us to know how to fight him. And God help us to teach our youth how to fight these battles.
Yes, amen.
Oh, Lord, help us to know how. Help us, Lord, to know how when to take them with us and show them how the Lord can win victories and battles for us. How to fight, how to stay there, how to stay in the battle. Thank you, Jed. Folks, we're going to need that.
Yes, amen.
If we're going to be successful Not only living this life for the Lord, we're going to need that, but we're going to need it when we come down to breathe our last breath. I was with a brother as he was dying, had full confidence in his life, had seen him fight some battles, heard him sing the songs, heard him testify. Seen him raise his hand. I observed from the sidelines him rearing his children. Watched how he tried to handle them, how he tried to teach them, how he tried to treat them, how he tried to have respect for them. And I watched him as he was facing this battle and affliction in his body that was bringing him down. And I remember being with him in the last hours of his life. And I remember how Satan came in there trying to challenge him right at the very end. I don't know when I've ever fought such a battle in my life. And I hope I never do again. But I want you to know, folks, Satan is cruel. And I want you to know this too. The God that you serve is well able to conquer him. I want you to know that. But I want you to know this too. That Satan is a force to be reckoned with. He has power. He has no more power but what God will give him, but he has power. Let me say it this way. He has as much power as you will give him. I'll say it again. Satan has as much power as you will give him in your life. As that brother lay there in his last hours, Satan came on the scene trying to claim some things and conquer some things and do battle with him and try to get him at his weakest moment to yield. And there was a fight. How I wish that time for others to be there with me to help fight. Help me fight this battle. I would love to have someone kneeling beside me, holding my hand as we're praying, pressing heaven to help this brother get through this thing, because this is an enemy of his soul that's here challenging him, that wants to take him. We need to know how to fight these battles, folks. We need to know how to fight and hold on for victory until victory comes. I trust that we're not rearing a weak generation. I trust that we're not in a position where there have been leagues made, but I'm afraid I see those things on the horizon. I'm afraid as I look out and see where people begin to lean to the arm of flesh, and it's not only in the medical world, but in philosophy, begin to lean to the arm of flesh and make leagues with the arm of flesh. Please don't misunderstand me. I appreciate education. I know the value of what education can be. I wish I had more of it sometimes. I wish I had gone a little farther with education. But I know what education can be, and I also know that it can be a detriment. I know that there is a place a person can reach where they can no longer grasp the simple concept of having faith in God. They've gone beyond there. They have to have everything proved. And it doesn't work like that. No one can say by a textbook, no one can prove with logic that there is power for one man to die for the salvation of a whole world. You can't prove that with logic. It takes faith.
Yes, amen.
To know that Jesus gave himself, died on the cross, you can't with logic prove how it's possible for a man to lay in a grave for 2 days and a half and be called forth, resurrected as Jesus was. You can't prove that with logic. It takes faith. Folks, it takes simple faith to believe in the Word of God and the gospel message, and to try to take anything other than that and incorporate it into it,
yes.
I'm going to make myself weaker.
Yes.
Because when I come to my most vulnerable point in life, when I'm reaching that place where I have a decision to make and I've got some serious things that are going on here, I need God to stand with me.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I read in the book of Jude that when Satan was disputing about the body of Moses. That the angel said, the Lord rebuke thee. I want to tell you what was going on there. When Moses, in his anger, reached out and hit that rock and said, this is the words that Moses said, shall I draw water from this rock? He didn't say the Lord. He said, shall I draw water from this rock? Satan was right there, folks. Yes. I want you to know Satan was right there. He saw Moses. He knew the attitude of his heart. He knew the anger that he had. He knew what he was up against. Moses was a man that was frustrated because of these murmuring people. I can understand where he was. But he looked at that scene and he said, shall I draw water out of this rock for you? And he smote the rock. Water came out. Satan was right there. And when it came time for this occasion to occur, Satan was right there disputing with the archangel about the body of Moses. He said, I've got something to claim here. I have something here that I can put my finger on, because when I touched this thing, Moses moved and he reacted. Folks, do you think it's not serious? Do you think it's not serious how we conduct ourselves in this life? Every aspect, every facet of it. I understand that there are things that we're going to have to go back and try to fix up and repair. I understand that. We're human beings. We're not beyond this flesh. But we have a place in God where we can go to Him and ask forgiveness and ask for help, grace to help in time of need. This is what we're going to need to fight battles. It's not necessarily who makes the fewest mistakes that wins.
That is so.
Oh God, help us, folks. It's not necessarily who makes the fewest mistakes, but it's how you overcome.
Yes,
how
is.
You regain the ground when you have made a blunder. Yes. And how you are able to humble yourself before the Lord and let Him teach you and carry you through those places. Learning how to fight. Today, to our youth, rearing children, contemplating marriage, making those steps in life that no one would ever want to take from you. Everyone wants their opportunity to enjoy what life has in it. Everyone wants that opportunity. No one wants to take that from you. But can I say to you today that it's time now for you to start learning how to fight.
Yes.
And I'm not talking about fighting with weapons. The scripture says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal.
Yes.
But they're mighty through God. The pulling down of strongholds. Bringing into captivity every evil imagination. The Lord will give us the things that we need to fight these battles in life. Don't lean too hard on someone else. And most of all, don't look to the arm of flesh. I know you've heard that message over and over again, but it's very relevant today.
Yes, amen.
My concern, my burden is that we not have a generation coming up. Listen to these words again in Judges, 2nd chapter, 10th verse. Also, all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. This means, when it says gathered to their fathers, it means that they died. They passed away. And there arose another generation. There are those here today who could tell us stories of men of God, men and women of God that they knew in their lives that had power with God.
Yes, thank you.
That knew how to fight battles, could tell us of battles won, victories, battles fought, ground that was gained. And I say to myself here today, Lord, am I doing my part? Am I doing my part in teaching, transferring these things over to our youth, teaching them how to fight? Am I fighting battles myself and gaining ground and winning these battles and victories? Am I teaching others how to fight and gain ground and win? Lord, help us, folks. Today, we're responsible to each other. We need to stand shoulder to shoulder.
Yes.
We need to be able to somehow take them under our wing and teach them and help them to know how to fight these battles. There arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. I've heard a song sung, tell your children and your children's children of the works of the Lord. Teach it. The Israelites were commanded to keep these things as frontlets between their eyes. Tell it when you sit down. Tell it when you rise up. Tell it everywhere you go. Keep it before your children. Oh God, help us today. I love you. And if we're going to make heaven our home, folks, we're going to have to be victorious in fighting these battles.
Yes, amen.
It's easier to go through life on the flesh. It's easier on the flesh to go through life and look to the arm of flesh. When Jesus was in the height of his passion, praying in the garden, the scripture tells me that his sweat was as great drops of blood. It tells me that he said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But if not, I'll drink it. Not my will, but thy will be done. Are we able to say those things today? Are we able to, in a place of where things are straight, when I am in a difficult place, when I'm in battle for my physical body, when I'm in battle for my spiritual being, when I'm in battle for my soul, am I able to say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done? Am I willing to yield myself to him, to let myself be broken? Does not the scripture say concerning Jesus that he has become a rock of offense, a stumbling stone? But it says whoever would fall on that stone would be broken. Folks, there's a place where we can run to and fall on the Lord, on that cornerstone, that foundation stone, and be broken. And we should be. I wonder sometimes if we're not getting to the place where we're really broken before the Lord. But then it says, but who that stone would fall on would be crushed to powder. I'll rehearse a little personal testimony with you. It's been, I can't tell you how many years ago. It's been several years ago now. But I was in a battle in the ministry. I'll be specific. It was over the pastorate there at La Ronger. To just use real common terms, I was a nervous wreck. I had asked, this is the way I approached it. I said, Lord, this is too serious for me to take lightly. My soul's at stake, and the souls of everybody in this congregation is at stake. And if I move, if I step out in something here, and I've made a misstep, I'm in trouble. And I might be the cause of your people being in trouble. And I don't want to go there. So I said, I need to know. Lord, I need to know. And I felt like he gave me an answer. I didn't balk, but I was sure being cautious. Overcautious, what I found out later. And the Lord gave me one assurance, and I wanted some more, so I asked for more, and he gave me more. But I was still a nervous wreck, and I battled, and I battled for months, and my health was breaking, and I knew it was. I developed a twitch in my left arm that still is with me sometimes today. And I reached a point in it where I said, mind you now, I knew, I could feel it within me, my body breaking down. And I said, Lord, I've just got to know. And this is what happened. He said, I gave you this because you asked for it. And you asked for more and I gave you this. And then you said that you wanted more and I gave you that. What else do I have to do? Do I have to break you? I said, God, have mercy on me. Don't break me. I don't want to be broken by you, Lord. I'll gladly fall on you, but don't fall on me. Don't break me. I felt like at that point I was close to that. Don't break me, Lord. I don't want to go any farther. I'll do it. You just let me know when. I'll do it. And I felt a relief. I felt a real relief about it.
Thank the Lord.
And I was riding down the road one day in a truck that was so noisy I couldn't hear myself think. And as I was riding down the road, I still remember the place. Just out of the sky, it's time. And it shook me. But I knew what it meant. I knew what that meant. And I said, Lord, I'll do it. I told you I would. It's time. You let me know it's time. So I called for a meeting with the congregation, with the deacons and other ministers there. I said, Lord, let me know it's time. Folks, we don't want to be broken. I'll tell you, you don't want to be broken. The Lord has a place for us, everyone, where we can fall on Him. And His love and His mercy will be there to guide us, to help us, to protect us, to lead us. But if we wait, if I believe there is a place where we can wait and go beyond, where we grieve Him.
Yes.
Where we grieve the Lord because we ask for things and He gives us things. And we ask and He gives and we ask and He gives because He loves us and He knows our frame that we're but dust. He knows all about us. But we can balk. Like the children of Israel did. And they lost out on something very precious. Their children inherited the land of Canaan. I want to inherit all I can of it. I want you to inherit all you can of it. I want you to get everything that you can in the Lord. I want you to deepen down and get so spiritual that every time I'm around you, I feel the presence of God. I want you to have an aura about you that when I stand next to you, I feel God in you. That's what I want. I want every one of us to be able to have that place. And I don't think that's too high. I think we can call on the Lord and ask Him, give me something, Lord. Give me something from heaven, something special that will be an evidence of your presence. Lord, teach me how to fight.
Yes, amen.
Maybe it's not your time today. But your time's coming. And you'll have a battle. It may not be for your life. It may not be physical. It may be a battle for your soul. It may be a battle for ground to gain in the Lord. But your day's coming.
Yes.
Fight.
Yes, amen.
Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. The scripture says there in Matthew 11:12, that the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. And the violent take it by force. It tells me that I'm not going to get it just by sitting. I'm going to have to be willing to take some action.
Yes, amen.
I'm going to have to be willing to stay right in there. I understand, folks, that it's not always possible for me to just be in prayer 24 hours a day. But I still believe there's a place where we can leave ourselves open to the Lord to talk to us wherever we may be. Driving down the road in that noisy truck, He said, it's time. I knew exactly what He meant. We can be in those places. The Lord is faithful. He's true. He's just. He is God. He loves us and He cares for us. And He wants us to be strong.
Yes, amen.
He wants us to be able to fight in these battles that life can bring to us. You're going to have places where you're going to fight for your children. You're going to fight for family members. You're going to fight for the church. You're going to fight for what's right. No, you're not going to be able to do it with a sword and shield, but you're going to do it in prayer, in faith and courage, as the words of the song said. On my knees, Lord, I have faith. I believe in you. Your simple gospel, Lord, I want to know the essence of it. I want to know that there's deliverance in there for me. Deliverance from whatever it may be. So many things could be said, but our world is steeped in sin. Gross sin. Drug addictions, alcohol addictions, pornography. All of these things, folks, they're taking hold of people. And they're sapping the life out of them. It's like a spider who has a web spread and a little bug flies by and gets in the web. Have you ever sat and watched that scene? You ever sit and watch whenever that bug gets caught in that web? Have you ever seen... It's cruel. Well, you sit and watch it, it's really cruel. He's caught, and he knows he's caught. If I were in that place in my mind, I would think, uh-oh, this is my last chance. But he struggles, and he struggles, and he struggles, trying to break free from that web, but he can't do it. Seems like the more he struggles, the more entangled he gets. And all the time, the spider up there knows, I've got something caught in my web. So he works and he works and he twists and he writhes trying to get out and he weakens himself down. Finally the spider begins to make his little move closer, closer, closer. And he gets close enough, he injects his poison and he begins to wrap and wrap and wrap and they're caught. You know how that comes? By building leagues with the world. I know I've used the world as a pretty loose term. I don't even feel like trying to define it today. I think you know what it is. I think if we'll be real honest with ourselves, we know what the world is. I've heard it talked about, I've heard it defined, but I'm not even going to try to go there this morning. If we'll be real honest, we'll know what it is. You know, one more thing I feel like the Lord gave me. And I don't know how to say it except just to say it. It's a whole lot easier to deal with a soul who will say, I am not saved, but I want to be saved, than to deal with one that says, I'm saved and living for the Lord, and they're deceived.
Yes.
Or they won't acknowledge. They just won't acknowledge that I'm away from God. It's so much easier to work with a soul that says, I just don't have it. It's so much easier to work with someone that says, in the physical affliction or whatever it may be, I just don't have the faith. Pray for me. Than to try to condone all of these other things and say, I'm right in the place that God wants me to be. My arms are tied. My hands are tied. There's not a whole lot you can do with something like that. But folks, these things come on people because they allow themselves to make leagues with things of the world. The farther away we stay from that, the better off we are. The easier it is for us to shake free when the time comes for the Lord to knock on our heart's door. I appreciate your time and attention this evening. I love you. I love these young faces I see in this crowd today. You're beautiful. You've got so much strength. You've got so much opportunity. There's so many choices to be made, good and bad. I love you. The Lord loves you. And I want you to be strong, and I want you to fight. Don't ever quit. Fight. Fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. Please pray for me.